have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet I've loved Jacob, but I've hated Esau. I've made his hill country a desolation and a heritage, a desert for jackals. If Edom says, we're shattered, but we'll rebuild the ruins, the Lord of hosts says, they may build, but I'll tear down, until they're called the wicked country, the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the borders of Israel. Malachi is the last of the 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament. How do we determine if a prophetic book is a major or minor prophet? Its size. That's exactly right. Those who answered will be able to get the treats first today. It's the size of the books. Or the longer the book, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, major prophets. Smaller books, like Ezra, Jonah, Malachi, minor books. The people of God, the nation of Judah, which comprised 2.5 of the original tribes of Israel, had been in exile for Babylon in 70 years. The other 9.5 tribes of Israel went into exile in Assyria and were never heard of again. In these 70 years as prisoners in a foreign nation, there were faithful prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, who kept proclaiming messages of hope that one day God would gather his little chicks from a foreign land far, far away and bring them home again. And this is exactly what happens. After 70 years of being dominated by their enemies, Cyrus of Persia, who defeated the Babylonians, sets God's people free. I don't know what it's like to be dominated by a foreign nation decade after decade. But the joy they must have experienced going home would have been unbelievable. It would have been an incredible celebration. You would have wanted to be there. Not only are they reclaiming their lands and property, they're encouraged to rebuild the temple, to worship the one true God in spirit and truth. After 7 decades, it feels like everything that had gone wrong has finally turned right because of the goodness and mercy of God. But has it? Have you ever anticipated something, hoped something to happen, and then it finally came true? It could be buying that first car, your first job, the first baseball glove, or maybe bigger things, like a broken relationship that was restored, a marriage proposal, or finding a vocation you feel alive in. I have a nephew who has been deathly allergic to milk products and nuts since he was a baby. Many scary emergency situations concerning for his parents, major food restrictions, and preparations became his daily existence. When he was in high school, he was prayed for at church, and he believed that God had healed him. His friends wanted him to try something immediately, but his mother suggested a controlled environment with a doctor would be better. And Jonathan did have a significant healing. He can now eat things with milk, but any kind of nuts is still very dangerous for him. Do you have any idea what was the first thing he wanted to eat? Chocolate. He had been hearing about this incredible food staple, like forever, and not only from his uncle. When he finally ate some chocolate, do you know what his reaction was? He was disappointed. The taste did not live up to the hype. In a similar way, this is a little bit like what the people of God felt like coming back from exile. They were dreaming for a day to be in their own beds with the full freedom to worship the God of heaven and earth until they weren't. They got distracted by other things that led them away from their first love, which should have been the God who loved and protected them. Malachi 1:1 says, an oracle or a message, the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. The prophets were God's spokespeople throughout the Old Testament. Sometimes they were called seers because they could literally see into the spiritual world that was hidden to most. Malachi's name means messenger, angel. messenger of God, or messenger of Yahweh. If the Lord sent someone to you to give you a message, would you listen? As we walk through the book of Malachi, we will see six disputes between God and the people of Israel. In the first three disputes, God will reveal Israel's corruption. And in the second list of three, the Lord will confront their discrepancies. Malachi 1:2. God makes a claim, and his people disagree with him. Could you imagine that? I've loved the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? It's been 100 years since returning from exile in Babylon, and Israel's back in their own land, and you would expect paradise. But instead, things are looking more like a garbage dump. There were very evil, wicked things that God Judah displaced in the first place, and they've gone back to the very evil ways again. Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. Those of you out there that have dogs, sorry about that. This is what the people of God have done. Repeating their foolishness over and over, even though they should have known it would lead to their demise again. When I don't exercise, I don't sleep well. When I don't create space to listen to God and read the Bible, the worries and troubles of life seem to overtake my thoughts and emotions. When I spend more money than I have, I start to feel lots of stress over my financial situation. Who knew doing the same thing over and over would lead to the same results? God does. In verse 2, the people respond to the Lord by saying, how have you loved us? What have you done for us lately? The people are suspicious, doubting God's love and care for them. When things are not going the way you want, does it make you want to question the Lord's concern over your life? For the rest of the text, God describes how he has shown his faithfulness and love. Verse 2b3. Is not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet I've loved Jacob, but I've hated Esau. I've made his hill country a desolation, and a heritage a desert for jackals. In the book of Genesis, God chooses Abraham and Sarah to become the mother and father of a great nation the Lord was raising up out of nothing. The nation of Israel was to reflect to the rest of the world what the living God was like. God would bless his people, and they would bless the world. Abraham's son was Isaac, was to carry on the stream. But then Isaac has two sons, twins, Esau and Jacob. Even in the womb, these two were scrapping, as they would form two distinct nations. The story is recorded in Genesis chapter 25 to 33. Esau ends up doing some unscrupulous things, from trading his birthright for a bowl of soup to marrying foreign women. Jacob's character isn't exactly wholesome either. Jacob's name means supplanter or trickster. But God reveals himself to Jacob in a personal and dynamic way. The idea of God loving Jacob over Esau is a hyperbole to emphasize one over the other. I can say to you, I love milk chocolate, but I hate white chocolate. I don't hate white chocolate, but I prefer milk chocolate. Jacob's descendants became the nation of Israel. Esau's descendants became the nation of Edom. How has God shown his love to Israel? His hand of love and protection had been on them from day one. But it doesn't mean they didn't face hardships like the other nations, 400 years as slaves in Egypt, and then wandered through the wilderness 40 years. With God, it often seems like the journey is the point of our lives. The end destination will take care of itself. I'm going to say that again. With God, it often seems like the journey is the point. Where you are right now, the journey is the point of our lives. And the end destination will take care of itself. In Malachi 1:4, if Edom says, we're shattered, but we'll rebuild the ruins, the Lord of hosts says, they may be built, but I'll tear down. Until they're called the wicked country, the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Okay, before some come to the conclusion that God is favorites and it's not you, Let me explain a little background. There was enough space for many nations on the earth, Israel and Edom being two of them, who were in fact cousins. How should you treat your cousins? You should treat them like family, for this is what they are. But Edom joined with the other nations to destroy Israel, in particular Babylon, before and after Israel's exile for 7 years, ripping them out of their homeland to a foreign land. Proverbs 17:17, it says, a friend is always loyal, and a brother born to help in time of need. Edom was hurting Israel, not helping them. Because of Edom's behavior, there are many prophecies spoken against them. Isaiah 11:14, 63:1-6, Jeremiah 25:21, Jeremiah 49:7-22, and then Ezekiel 25:12-13, it says this. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The people of Edom have sinned greatly by avenging themselves against the people of Judah. Therefore, says the Sovereign Lord, I'll raise my fist of judgment against Edom. Although God will use nations to bring justice, Babylon defeating Judah, it does not stop God from using others to punish Babylon down the road for their wickedness, or Edom, for that matter. Malachi 1:5. Your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the borders of Israel. We're not always so good at seeing the big picture on things. Often we come to the conclusion we are right, and those who think differently than us are wrong. It's more complicated than this. It's like when two siblings are having a conflict, and one of them is crying out like they're dying. You've never experienced this, I'm sure. Or were you the one who was the sibling that was crying out? It takes quite a bit of digging to get to the bottom of how it all started and what really happened. God understands what's happening in all of these nations, and he will judge all of them justly and fairly. There was a visitor that went to a British museum, Fitzwilliam Museum in Cambridge. In their museum, they had some vases that were over 300 years old. They'd been there 40 years. It was a masterpiece of the museum. The one day, as people were there, visitors were there, one guy tripped, and he fell right toward the vases. He knocked everything down. There were thousands of pieces. They said there was complete silence. And then the security guards ran in. Nobody could believe what happened. Finally, the guy who had tripped spoke up, and he pointed and said, there's the culprit. There he is, the loose shoelace. He's at fault. We found the guy who did it. We are the culprit. You, me, humanity. We've created these messes, and it's God who graciously redeems situations and puts us back on our feet. Does God actually care what happens to your neighbor, to the nation of Israel, to the people of Edom, to the people groups and countries that make up our world today? Or does he turn a blind eye to some things and have favorites? The book of Jonah in the Old Testament answers these questions with incredible insight. God proclaimed judgment on the city of Nineveh, who came from the nation of Assyria. Israel hated Assyria. Remember, the Assyrians are the ones who take 9.5 tribes of Israel as slaves, and they're never heard of again. If God is the friend of Israel, surely the Assyrians should get their just reward, their just punishment, shouldn't they? The prophet Jonah goes through the streets of Nineveh, probably grinning from ear to ear, as he calls out, in 40 days you'll be destroyed. But an incredible, surprising set of events changed the trajectory and destiny of the inhabitants. The city of over 120,000 people humbled themselves with sackcloth and ashes, from the king down to the lowest peasant, even putting sackcloth on their animals. they fasted. And shockingly, God withholds his judgment against them. Jonah is as hot as a hornet because of God showing mercy to Israel's enemies. The prophet was feeling sorry for himself. But this is how the book ends in Jonah 4:11, with God saying, "But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for the great city?" God will ultimately deal with all peoples and nations with mercy and justice. We can be thankful for this example of God's grace to the city of Nineveh and be encouraged that he will equally have mercy on us when we humble ourselves and repent of our wrongdoing. Instead of casting ourselves as the judge and the jury, it might be wiser for us to allow the God of heaven and earth to be the vindicator. Just because people have wronged us does not mean we have the right to retaliate and punish them. And just because things are unfair, it doesn't mean that Jesus has forgotten us or does not love us. God is the best one to mitigate and navigate this messy world that we live within. One thing that we can be sure of is that truth and justice will ultimately prevail in this life or the next. If you're wondering where the Lord is in the midst of this broken world, he is right in the middle of it, bringing life, hope, healing, and forgiveness. Don't allow the darkness of today to blind you to God's movements into tomorrow. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful that you have the whole world in your hands because the weight and burden is too great for us to bear. You're able to so graciously hold all the shattered pieces of our planet through your redemption, bringing wholeness. Help us to trust you when the way is anything but clear. We know that you love us and are for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, Ezra. I'm going to do a couple announcements, benediction. We're going to sing one more song, and then you're dismissed. Our youth are running again from 7 to 8:30. We mentioned there's a home group starting called Safe People this Thursday. And someone said to me, Lewis, what if I miss a couple sessions? There's 13 sessions. Don't worry if you miss a couple sessions. But it's going to happen here at the church. It's on DVD. What's nice is it starts at 7, it ends at 8. So you know when you're starting and you know when you're ending. The guys who authored this are Townsend and Cloud. They're the same people that wrote the book, Boundaries and Boundaries of Marriage. They're exceptional. And so if you're looking to get out, it'll be here at the church this Thursday from 7 to 8. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that God can be trusted in all the seasons of life, in the seasons of life, and even in the season of death. Amen.
Will you please stand with us as we sing together and end the service going into the week. Have a really good week.
My Redeemer.